The title of the message this morning is Many Minds. Not M-I-N-I, but M-A-N-Y, Many Minds. We don't want to have small minds. We want to have larger minds. And we want to also talk about this morning, we're going to look at some of the types of minds that are there. And there are many of those, and that's where I kind of got the title, Many Minds. And I want us to kind of look at some of the different minds that we encounter in life and that we may or may not possess ourselves. And so this morning, I want to begin with the first one. We begin with the cunning mind, the cunning mind. In Psalm 64:6, David tells us, "Surely the mind and the heart of man are cunning." We've talked throughout the series that when you see the word heart, a lot of times in the Bible, in fact, most times, it really is speaking of the mind. It's not talking about the heart that's pumping blood, but it's talking about our innermost being and our thoughts. But David said that the heart and mind of man are cunning. A cunning mind is skillful in deception. It's a sly or a crafty mind. It's a very shrewd mind. Yeah, very similar to, obviously, the devil has a cunning mind because he's very skilled in deception. Jesus told the disciples, "See that you're not deceived." Whenever they were talking about the end times, they wanted to know about the signs of his coming. And Jesus, the first thing he said is, "Don't be deceived." Well, see, the devil is very cunning. He is skillful in deception. And his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Another type of mind is a troubled mind. Some people have a troubled mind. We recently, in one of the messages, learned from Acts 15:24 that there were some new Gentile believers that had troubled minds, and they were troubled because of things people had said to them. Some people had come to them disturbing them, troubling their minds by what they said. So we must be careful what voices we listen to today. You need to be careful how much time you're devoting to the news, whatever type of media, whether it's printed page or radio or television or YouTube or whatever you're looking at or listening to, be careful of the voices that you're feeding your mind. Because that's going to impact you either positively or negatively. You need to be very careful whose voice you're listening to. We need to listen for that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the main voice that we need to listen to. In the Old Testament, though, both Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And if you remember, their minds were troubled by those dreams, and they couldn't even sleep. So I ask a question this morning. What's troubling your mind right now that's keeping you from sleep and rest? What's that been this past week or past month or so far this year or even last year because of the COVID situation? What's still troubling your mind? What's keeping you awake at night that you can't sleep and that you can't rest? Ecclesiastes 2:22-23 adds this. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? We all have had to work, and many of you are still working. Some are retired, but yet there's still things that have to be done. You know, you still got stuff to do. And there's this anxious striving that we've been living under, you know? And so he says, what do we get for all of that toil, all of that anxious striving with which we labor under the sun? Verse 23 says, all his days his work is pain and grief, and even at night his mind does not rest. Even at night, sometimes you're so troubled by your day, so stressed by what you're dealing with in life, real time, that you can't sleep properly. That's what the enemy tries to do. He wants to steal sleep from you because you need your rest. The Bible says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he, God, gives his beloved sleep. God wants to give you sleep and rest, and he will do that, and he'll give you perfect peace where you can allow your mind to relax. And if your mind relaxes, your body will automatically follow suit. Amen? It just will. Your body always follows your mind. And so a troubled mind could be a real issue. In 1 Corinthians 29:9, David tells Solomon this, because this third mind is called a willing mind, a willing mind. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, David says to his son Solomon, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind." A willing mind is a mind that is favorably disposed or consenting to do something readily but also cheerfully. I'm going to say that again. If you've got a willing mind, it's a mind that is favorably disposed or consenting to do something readily and also cheerfully. So again, a question, are you serving God this morning with a willing mind? Are you willing to serve him? Are you serving him in a grudging manner? Do you serve him when only things are going well? Do you serve him when things are positive in your life? Or are you there through thick and thin? Are you there no matter what? You're trusting God. You're believing God. We watched an old movie last night. I think it's called "Though None Go With You, I Will Follow." No turning back. No turning back. It's an old chorus even that we sang back in the 70s. But are we serving God willingly? Are our minds in tune with his mind? The word says we can actually have the mind of Christ if we're really following him wholeheartedly. And then there's a special type of mind, and it's called a keen mind, a keen mind. In Daniel chapter 5, Daniel is called upon to read the handwriting on the wall, if you remember. The king at that time was having a banquet. They were in high spirits, and all of a sudden, a finger in a hand, writes a phrase on the wall, and nobody could decipher it for the king. He brought in the astrologers, the enchanters, the fortune tellers, whoever, and they couldn't do it. And so in Daniel 5, the king's mother tells him this: "There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight, intelligence, and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means." Man, I love that. The king's mother knew what to do. She said, "Your dad, when he was king, there's this guy named Daniel, and he knew all this stuff." A keen mind is wise, it's learned, it's intelligent. It's a mind that is in tune with God, that knows the times and what to do. So it's really important. And then finally today, we talked about a unified mind. God wants his people to have a unity of mind, thought, and purpose. He wants us to have a unity of mind, thought, and purpose. So a unified mind. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 12, we find this: "Also in Judah, the hand of God was on the people to give them a unity of mind." To what? To carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of the Lord. Guys, somehow, some way, in this world in which we live, we've got to get back to the word. We've got to get back in this book like we've never gotten into it before, because it's going to give us the keys and the insights that we need to navigate the last days in which we live. There are prophetic words here. So much of the Bible, when it was initially written, was prophecy. And there's still so much prophecy yet to be fulfilled in the last days. And so I believe as we get into this word, God wants us to have a unity of mind so we can carry out his plan for our lives, his plan and will for our churches, for our homes, for our families. And he says, "I want you to follow the word of the Lord." That's the key. is that we're following not only the Lord's leading in our lives, but we're following what His Word tells us. And God will never tell you to do something or say something that is contrary to His Word. It just won't happen. God wants us to follow His Word. And in doing so, we'll be blessed and we'll bless those that are all around us, that we can minister to them. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul writes this. He says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another." Why? "So that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in your thoughts." God wants us to kind of roll together. He wants us to be of one mind, that unified mind, following His heart, following His will, His ways, seeking out His timing in our lives and for the lives of people around us, and the timing of where we're living in time. Where are we in regards to end time prophecy? God wants to give us wisdom and insight into these areas, to have a unity of mind and thought. In Acts 4:32 and 33, Luke tells us this, all the believers were one in heart and mind. In Acts chapter 2, it said that the believers on the day of Pentecost were in unity, one mind, one accord, and then the Holy Spirit came. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. I love that. I love that. This phrase in here about sharing possessions is unique. It almost sounds a little bit socialistic, which we don't want. But I was watching something on TV the other night, just had been surfing, came upon Channel 45, the religious station, the Hope Station, and there was a program about Israel on. And it was talking about the kibbutz on which a lot of people in Israel live out in the countryside. And it's talking about the different things that they do and different ideas they've come up with, and how a lot of the major corporations here in America are buying their technology, you know, and then putting it into their products, and just the stuff that they do there. Well, a kibbutz is more of a commune, like we were to think back in the 70s or 60s. You know, that's kind of how they lived there. And just really interesting, it's how Israel was initially founded. David Ben-Gurion, the father of modern-day Israel, lived in a place called Seyd Boker, was the kibbutz that he lived on. And so anyway, they share, and that's what the New Testament believers did back then. But then I love this too, with great power, there's the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. This is Acts chapter 4 that I'm reading from, two chapters after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the 120. And so with great power, with that power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the apostles continue to testify about the resurrection of Jesus. We need to get, I think, more involved in doing that as well, being a witness, being a light, being a testimony. But about what? About the resurrection of Jesus. He's alive and well, and He wants to touch the hearts of people that don't know Him and touch their lives and come into their hearts. And then it says, as they did that, much grace was upon them all. God's grace, His unmerited favor, something you can't earn, you can't buy, but that grace was upon all of them as they did this. And then in conclusion, Paul throws this in from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And he writes, "Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." I like as he closes out that book, 2 Corinthians, he says, you know, telling them goodbye, he says, "I want you to aim for perfection." I think he knows and we know that in this life, nobody is perfect, right? We'll only reach perfection when we meet the Lord in heaven. We'll be like Him. We'll see Him as He is, face to face. But until then, we'll be imperfect. We'll mess up from time to time. There'll be stuff that we don't like, much less, obviously, God may not like, But he says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus. And if we confess our sin, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he says, I want you to aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Listen to what I'm asking you to do. Be of one mind. Live in peace with one another. And the God of love and peace will be with you. He'll be among you. Always God's desire to dwell among his people. From the Garden of Eden all the way through eternity, it's his ultimate plan. He said, I will be their God. They will be my people. I will dwell among them and live with them. So this morning, I just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. And we just give you the privacy this moment. We've talked about the different minds that are available. Father, I just ask you to move in a special way. Lord, quicken our minds. Help us to aim for perfection. Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to be and become who you want us to be and become. And then as we do that, enable us by that same Spirit, Lord, to do and accomplish what you want us to do and accomplish. Lord, move in hearts and lives this morning. God, revive us and refresh our thinking. Lord, revive us. Lord, minister to us. Be the encourager of our hearts. Be the lifter of our heads. And be the health and the joy of our countenances. God, move in a special way this morning. Lord, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, again, we give you this privacy of the moment. Are you here this morning and maybe you don't know the Lord? Maybe you've never asked him to come into your heart and life and to forgive you of sin. Or maybe you have done that and maybe you strayed away. Maybe you know the life you're living right now is not pleasing. The Lord wants to draw you back this morning. He says, if we confess our sin, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. He loves us. He wants us to make heaven our home. He wants to come into hearts and lives. He wants to refresh and restore and revive our minds and our spirits.